Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Another target of the new Trump administration that may be alarming but has become a mainstream, if aggressive, policy is rolling back rules and regulations that constitute much of the federal government's reach into our daily lives. 90 regulations ranging from consumer finance to water pollution have been rolled back so far, and Trump's approach forces bureaucrats and lawmakers to buy any new regulations they want with cancellation of two old ones. Sally Katzen worked in the Clinton administration and Obama transition team on crafting regulations. She says that it's common practice for new administrations to talk about scaling back regulations and launch government simplification programs, but so far, Katzen says, Trump's team has been particularly effective at it.
There are lots of different types of tools to be used to remove regulations, and he has taken advantage of all of them. He's stopped rules that were being developed at the end of the last presidential term. That's fairly typical. He's also suspended the effective date when regs become the law. During the Obama years, it was an instruction to the agencies to consider whether you want to delay the effective date. More importantly, the rules that are in effect. Congress has participated in this through the Congressional Review Act. The House and the Senate have together passed three motions of disapproval, which Trump has signed. He's also sent out a series of memos on individual regulations saying rethink, redo initiatives that were either completed or in process.
Let's talk about the two-for-one gig here that sounds so attractive in campaign rhetoric. Where do you get your old regs?
Well, the idea was that each department or agency would stand on its own, but there is a process for trading. I think it's a variation of a cap-and-trade system. But you could borrow from another department or agency with the permission of the director of the Office of Management and Budget. How freely that will be given remains to be seen. And it's important to emphasize an important qualification of the two-for-one order, and that is the two have to have existing or future costs equal to the cost of the new regulation that is being proposed. And that turns out to be fairly difficult because when a new regulation is issued, the bulk of the costs are in the implementation. And this presents a real dilemma if you're looking for rules that you can get rid of for a new rule.
I guess I just don't understand how you can do anything like this without looking at the significance and urgency of the regulations. It just seems on the surface to be not viable.
Well, you're touching on a critical part of the regulatory development because for the last 40 years, we have approached regulations looking at a cost-benefit analysis. And I want to emphasize benefit because what we have heard since January 20th are costs. Costs, costs. If you look at the two-for-one executive order, he mentions costs, I think, more than 15 times. He does not mention benefits. And this is a critical component of any kind of analysis. Before an agency can issue a reg, it has to engage in extensive analysis, which is reviewed by experts inside and outside the government to ensure that based on the best available information, these proposals would withstand a rigorous cost-benefit analysis.
All right, so what are the regulations, though, that conservatives who want these regulations eliminated because they're hurting the economy, what are the regulations there that are, number one, easy to get rid of, possibly that do just amount to a kind of government harassment that you could get rid of?
Well, if you look at the ones that were the subject of the Congressional Review Act, they cover the waterfront. I mean, there was a regulation from EPA that had to do with when you do surface mining, what happens to the debris? Does it go into the streams and thereby pollute the waters? That rule was eliminated. Another rule that was eliminated were payments to foreign governments by oil and gas companies overseas. That's an entirely different dimension. And there was a third rule that recently was eliminated that would have enabled the Social Security Administration to advise the National Crime Background Check System when someone is getting payments for mental illnesses. And this is designed to keep these people from purchasing firearms. These are three very different kinds of regulations, because not all regs are the same. They are very different. These three show that there are three different groups of either industries or interest groups that do not agree with what was done during the Obama administration.
All right, but can we just get an example of one that everyone would agree is just pointless? Either it's obsolete or...
There are things that we can get rid of. And every president since President Reagan has had a look back, a retrospective search for bad regs. They haven't turned up a lot, in part because, as I said earlier, to issue a reg, you have to go through a cost-benefit analysis. But I don't think that it's possible to come up with a regulation that the entire country agrees is stupid.
Then that suggests that as parties change and as different occupants of the White House take over, there must be a set of regulations that are constantly sort of batted around, kind of like a tennis match.
Well, there's actually a great example of that. It's not in a regulation, but it's in executive orders. It's called the so-called Mexico City policy, is because it was announced by Reagan in Mexico City. And it says that organizations cannot spend money on any information about birth control. And so it was imposed during Reagan. It was rolled back during Clinton. It was reimposed by George W. Bush. It was rolled back by Obama. And I think very soon we'll see that it will be reimposed by President Trump.
Sally Katzen is a law professor at the NYU School of Law, who worked on crafting regulations in the Clinton administration and on the Obama transition team. Sally, thanks so much.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.